Well, thank you, Jackie, and it's good to have the opportunity to speak once more on the Wednesday gathering. Cast your minds back, if you can, to when you were, what, 9, 10, 11 years old. What was your favourite radio programme? I say radio because as far as I was concerned, there wasn't any alternative anyway. And maybe it was even called the wireless then, I'm not quite sure. But I know what mine was. I wonder if you can guess. Dick Barton, Special Agent. There we are, yes. And there was Jock Anderson and Snowy White and co. And of course, they always got into scrapes. And the scrape always happened right at the end of the quarter-hour program. And of course, you had to wait till the following day before you could hear how they managed to get out. Well, I don't know whether the text, the script writer for Dick Barton had ever read Acts chapter 5, but if he had, then he could have used this as part of the sort of scenario for a program like that. If you want to read a really, really exciting book from the Bible, then you can't do better than the Acts of the Apostles. And it's a whole series of amazing things that God was doing. We call it the Acts of the Apostles, but really it perhaps ought to be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because it was the Spirit working through these men and women who were dedicated to follow Jesus and who were very conscious of the fact that they did so because of the Holy Spirit who was in them. And I suppose this is a real example of what we have here of a group of people, a community, who were in that process of becoming holy people in order that they might be able to serve effectively. And they certainly had an effective ministry, to say the least. Last week, of course, Janet was speaking, and she had those double S's, which helped us to memorize. Probably it helped, I don't know, I can still remember them, actually. A serious sin, a supernatural insight, and a sorry sequel. Well, I wondered about doing some MMs, but then I thought, well, perhaps not, but it'll come out as we go along anyway. A community of people who are in the process of being made holy. As we pick up from the reading this morning, which follows immediately on from what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, we read at the end of verse 11 that the great fear seized the whole church. It's not surprising. And if something like that had happened in our midst, I think we might well have felt a bit apprehensive too. Do we really want to stick around with these people if this sort of thing might happen to us? And nevertheless, one of the double M's that I might have used was marvelous miracles, because the apostles found themselves working miracles and wonders through the power of the Spirit. People were healed, and all the believers met together, and no one else wanted to join them because of what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. But even so, more and more men and women, more double M's, more and more men and women wanted to become followers of Jesus, and they were added to their number. And following on from that, this community of people who was clearly acting together as a group of people who really knew that they were called by God for something that was very special, they found that people began to bring the sick. It's like reading the Gospels. It's like reading what Jesus did. And the Sadducees got a bit jealous of them, decided that really this was a bit too much of a good thing because they were really being put out of joint. They were no longer the kingpins around in the temple area because these people had sort of come in and were doing all this that Sadducees were never able to do anyway. And of course, people loved it. And the next thing we know, of course, is that they were slapped into jail. And that's where the music starts, and we have to wait for the next day in order to find out what happened. And we read it very clearly here. During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Well, it all seems a bit unreal, doesn't it? When have we had anything like that really happen to us? And yet, at the same time, we are a company of people who are being made into a group, a community that are God's instruments here in Clifton, in Bristol, just as much as these folk were in Jerusalem. It's a bit of a challenge, really, isn't it? When you come to think of it. And the interesting thing is that holy people are sometimes referred to as saints. Now, I don't know what sort of image you have when you think of saints, but Paul, when he wrote to most of the letters, would greet the saints in Ephesus or in Rome or wherever. The saints. And we think of saints as being particularly holy and sometimes very effective people in ministry. And yet, ordinary people were being addressed as saints. And you and I might think, well, does that really apply to me? And the answer is yes and no. It certainly does, because if we have come into a relationship with Jesus, and after all, he invites us all to come to know him personally, to experience the power of the cross and all that sacrifice that Jesus gave of himself, that our sins might be forgiven. He just longs that ordinary people might come into that relationship with him and find that they have been changed, that they've been born anew, as we say. And that's really the start of where it all happens. And there's a word that is sometimes used in the Bible, which is called justification. And it says this in chapter 4 of Romans. It says, Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins. And as we come to think about the cross and Good Friday, we remember the purpose for which Jesus died. It was in order that our sins, yours and mine, might be taken upon him, indeed the sins of the whole world, that those who recognize what he has done might receive that life. And that new life is confirmed by the resurrection. Jesus' sacrifice was accepted by the Father. And that glorious resurrection day, which we're celebrating on the 31st of March this year, is indeed in a time of triumph. Therefore, chapter 5 says, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. And God calls you and me saints, because we have been justified. And I know this is an old adage, which I'm sure you'll have heard before. It is just as if I'd never sinned. We are made right in God's sight through his grace. This is the wonder of the good news, the gospel that is being told. And indeed, the angel said to the apostles who've been put in jail, go stand in the temple courts and tell the people all about this new life. Good news. So we are justified. We are saints if we know and follow Jesus. But there's also a present and a future. And Jesus said that I am longing that these followers of mine might share in my glory. So there's a sense in which there's something to look forward to which hasn't yet become a total reality. When we see Jesus face to face, it may be that he'll come back, we know not when, or it may be that we shall find ourselves coming to the end of this life before he comes back. But we shall see him, and we shall, as Christian believers, be glorified with him. It's as if our sainthood will be utterly confirmed at that point. We, as holy people who've been set aside, will have reached that final place. But in between, there's a process. I always like the dear Australian friend of ours who says, we're all a work in progress. And I like that phrase. Because, you know, God hasn't finished with any of us. He may think that some of us need to take our O levels again, and so, okay, he enables us to do that. And some of us perhaps go on a bit further, but we've never reached the end, because this is something that is going on and on. And Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians, he says this. He says, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we are in the process of being changed little by little. And hopefully there's been some sort of progress report that has been signed up in heaven over each one of us. But the point is that we can always do better. Not because it's what we do as such, but because we are conscious of this process, and that this process can actually be helped by the tools that we've been given. And I want to mention briefly three tools to help us in this process. The first is the Bible, God's word to you and me. And I hope that we have some sort of way of life that actually includes the Bible as a sort of most as usual thing as we do, as eat breakfast or brush our teeth. Because actually taking in something of the scriptures is a very good way of helping us to become the sort of holy people that God wants us to be. And Jesus prayed a prayer like this. He said this, sanctify them, that's make them holy. And he's talking about his followers, not only his immediate disciples, but people like you and me too, who'd come after them. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So in other words, the scripture itself, if we read it and understand it and ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten us, then this is a very way in which God uses to help to make us the holy people that we are meant to be. As you sent me into the world, says Jesus, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Jesus, who was sinless, said that he was sanctified himself. In other words, he identified himself wholly with you and me in order that that process of sanctification can actually take place. Read God's word day by day. There are helpful apps. Those are things that are on the phone, which I wouldn't have known about a few years ago either, which actually assist in reading the Bible. And if you want to know a bit more, I won't say anything right now, but come and have a word with me or Jill or Jackie or someone, and we'll point you in the right direction. So the Bible is one. The second, and it's almost been implied already, is the fact that the Holy Spirit is there to help, to guide, and to direct us. Indeed, it is the Spirit. It is by the Spirit that we are being changed anyway. So as we read the Word, as we allow the Spirit to work in us, as the fruit of the Spirit grows in us, so we find that there is a gradual transformation and that we're becoming more Christ-like, becoming more like Jesus. And that surely is the aim that we should be having, not only individually, but also together as a community. And indeed, as the wider church, seeking to be faithful in our following of Jesus. The Holy Spirit. And indeed, if we read Acts chapter 5, and indeed the whole of the Acts of the Apostles, it is a story of the Holy Spirit really getting hold of ordinary people who before Pentecost were fearful, frightened, and wondered what on earth had happened to Jesus, and transforming them. And if he could do it to people like Peter and Philip and others, he can do it to you and me. And certainly, I think we have every opportunity at a church like Christ Church, which is sometimes called a church of the Word and the Spirit. And the emphasis is on both, and that is so, so important. But you know, there's one other thing that I want to mention briefly, which is part of the path of sanctification of holiness. We prayed about it in the prayers, and it's a question of suffering. Suffering. I haven't got a lump of coal with me, nor do I have a diamond with me. But they are, to all intents and purposes, exactly the same material. I've never seen a lady wearing a coal engagement ring. So, what's the difference? The diamond has come under enormous pressure and heat. If you like, the ordinary stuff, the coal, which no one would want to do anything with particularly except burn, except you're not allowed to these days, and you keep that, out of it comes something precious. And suffering for Jesus is something which we don't often talk about much, but it is a process by which we can become the sort of people he wants us to be, refine as fire. May by the refining of the Spirit in our lives, allowing us to pass through suffering, actually bring the precious jewels that would give pleasure to God. And Peter writes this. Those who can suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Suffering is something which we all go through in one way or another. It depends whether we embrace it with God's grace or whether we try to push it away. And different people are going to suffer in different sorts of ways. I was going to take one example from the Bible, and that's the story of Joseph. Joseph, in the book of Genesis, was one of Jacob's sons, and he was the favorite son. and his several brothers didn't like that at all. And we know the story of Joseph and how eventually the brothers decided that instead of killing him, they'd actually sell him to Egypt and then pretend to their father that he'd actually been killed by a wild animal. And so they thought they'd get rid of him that way. Joseph suffered. He also suffered when he got to Egypt, because although he became a servant of a senior person in the administration there, he was betrayed by that man's wife, and he was put in prison. And he suffered in prison intensely. But God had a purpose which would never have come about had it not been for that suffering. And he was being prepared for the time when he would actually be the chief administrator in Egypt at a time of deep famine in that whole region. And through him, his family was saved. It's a remarkable story. But it only came about because Joseph suffered. And it was the making of him. And again, Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, he says these things. He says, if I can just find it quickly in the text. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We look forward to our glorification. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. We cannot become the sort of people that God wants us to be unless we are prepared to embrace suffering of one sort or another, and it is for our good. That is why God allows it to happen. And maybe this is all part of what it means for each one of us to become increasingly holy people, in order that we might truly be able to serve God in the place where he has put us. It's a bit of an adventure. It's a bit of a risk. In a sense, it requires a choice as to whether we want to go down this line or whether we don't. I certainly, as we discovered last week in the story of Ananias and Sapphira, great fear seized the whole church and all who heard it about and all who heard about these events. And no one dared join them. Well, you know, if it's a message like this that's being proclaimed, it might put people off. Fair enough. But supposing it were to open up the way for amazing things to happen, like there were in the passage we have before us this morning. Just supposing that would begin to happen, so that even people who passed by the shadow of one of the church leaders here found that they were healed. I think people would prefer that to the NHS. And it might be that this place would be absolutely filled to overflowing, and indeed they've had to put up tents on the green outside. It's a bit of an adventure that we don't quite know what the end will be. But God is in the purpose, he is in the whole way of wanting to change things from what things are, both for ourselves, but also for communities, for cities, for nations. And I believe that out of the chaos in the Middle East and all the sadness of what's been happening, God is at work. And we've already heard testimonies of amazing ways in which this is happening, about how people are becoming believers in Iran and Iraq, in Gaza. God is at work. He's using some of the worldwide awful things that are happening in order to bring about his purposes. That is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And we live in interesting and exciting times. So may we go out and with the people who were released from jail, stand, as it were, in the temple courts and tell the people about this new life. And we shall become increasingly a community of holy people. Let's pray. Oh God, we do indeed thank you and praise you that you love us so much that you sent Jesus to die for us, that we might indeed be sanctified, justified, and be brought into your kingdom. And Lord, we thank you that you love us so much that you don't leave us in a baby state, but that we might truly mature and become useful for you. And we pray that we may embrace all those different means whereby you have given, which you have given, whereby we can be changed from one degree of glory to another. And that we may be serving people, able to take that good news into the community. Lord, work powerfully, we pray, to your glory and praise. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.